this coming Thursday, is Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah is when Jews observe Holocaust Remembrance Day. At the same time, in South Africa, we are a country grappling. We are a people, a nation grappling with our past. And joining us right now on the line from the, he's the head of media at the South African Institute of Race Relations, is Michael Morris. And I want to ask, Michael, is the world less racist?
I think racism probably has declined in its most brutish forms, though rather like murder or theft, say, it'll probably be always with us as one of the baser impulses of humanity. I think certainly in South African terms, I can come back to that to look at our polling in some detail.
Yeah.
South Africa is in fact not a society that's being torn asunder by racism, even though it often seems as though it is. And I think certainly internationally, and it's probably true for South Africa, the race consciousness has certainly been stimulated by two things, perhaps. The first, just in very blunt terms, that a denser world population with greater competition for resources and all that wells from that. And then also, of course, the very recent considerable reliance on identity as a defining feature for many people in large parts of society and different parts of the world. And that feeds into politics as well. That, of course, is useful politically because it can be exploited in negative ways for accumulation of power and votes and so on. But, you know, it's also no doubt useful for many people to as a way of sort of anchoring or distinguishing themselves in a world which so much really is the same, and race can then become perhaps a tool for projecting your distinctive interests in some way.
Yeah. It's quite an interesting process because, I mean, if we look at Europe, I mean, the ultimate conclusion to racism was the Holocaust.
Right.
If one looks at Europe today, right, so Germany, they showed remorse, they paid reparations. And yet, if you look at Germany, if you look at France, racism, it's now politically correct. I mean, the Anti-Defamation League just recently published, in fact, it was today, that they were close on 2,000 anti-Semitic incidents. Now, anti-Semitism is racism. How do we actually deal with racism?
It's a critical issue, as you say, throughout the world, and it's not simply a question of black and white racism. It's attitudes towards others who are different from ourselves, which is derogatory and which is aimed at either undermining or exploiting those people and making them victims of oneself and one's own interests.
Sure.
But I think, you know, in a sense, I mean, there are a few things I'd like to tackle there. I think it's as I mentioned earlier, it certainly is it's going to be common to the society, as common perhaps as murder and theft and all the baser things of humanity. But our argument is quite simply that the more open a society, the freer it is, the greater the chance is of in fact engaging with people and having some hope of changing their thinking. I think one of the problems in the modern world, perhaps, is that we have a greater awareness of every small thing that happens, or every large thing that happens. Everything that happens is floods towards us as a deluge or a glut of impressions and data that in a media saturated world that is sort of impinging on our sense of who we are and how life is in the modern world, and that even faraway events in Philadelphia, Christchurch, Sri Lanka, these will actually, you know, intrude on our secure domestic spaces, and we almost have the feeling that they're happening to us. It becomes almost a personal reality. But just as an antidote to a sense of this abiding gloom, if you like.
Yeah.
I came across a very interesting insight towards the end of last year from the American psychologist and public intellectual Steven Pinker. And I'd just like to quote something from what he's written about the past 200 years of human history, which I think does give a sense of the power of reason and rationality in civility, which is essentially in a way the liberal argument that we sustain open societies, we tolerate even offensive speech because that means that we're enabled to engage.
Yeah.
What Steven Pinker wrote, I beg your pardon, was this brief paragraph. The tribal warfare was 9 times as deadly as war and genocide in the 20th century. It's difficult to believe, but he's worked this out, obviously on a proportionate basis. The murder rate in medieval Europe is more than 30 times what it is today. Slavery, sadistic punishments, and frivolous executions were unexceptionable features of life for millennia and then were suddenly abolished. Wars between developed countries have vanished, and even in the developing world, wars kill a fraction of the numbers they did a few decades ago. And then finally, rape, hate crimes, deadly riots, child abuse, all substantially down. So if one does take a big, if one sits back and takes a sort of broader look at the development of human society and the improvements that have come from post-enlightenment thinking, and liberalism, dare I say it, I think it's a useful anecdote to what might be a typically or quite typically dystopian view that the world is basically going to the dogs. But nevertheless, having said all that, I think it, as you have highlighted, the challenge remains. It's not an achievement which can ever be guaranteed.
Mm.
We're all humans. We in each age, I think we function under very different pressures, and the pressures are doubtless greater today in this world, partly by virtue of that immediacy of communication, and the difficulty sometimes of being able to stop and appraise it and to assess to what extent it really is meaningful to us and our personal safety. And also the fact that these things are very useful to the minority of people or minority of political leaders who are very willing to exploit them. And I think we see that certainly in Europe, and anti-Semitism that's always been the case. It doesn't take many nefarious leaders to begin to use that to sweep up hysteria about the other.
Yeah.
And it leads to the most awful consequences.
Absolutely. Michael Morris, thank you so much for joining us. And we've got to get you back because there's other conversations. I mean, something that happens with racism is that when you keep groups of people apart and you have this segregation, they don't have direct contact. The minute
exactly.
you have direct contact, you're going to have a different form of racism. It could
yeah.
be more physical in nature. So we definitely need to get you back and keep this conversation going. Wish you a wonderful, happy Workers' Day for tomorrow. And thank you very, very much. That is Michael Morris. He's the head of media at the South African Institute of Race Relations. I highly recommend that you go check out their website. They are a fantastic organization, and they're worth engaging with.